one result of this moral iconoclasm is to reject even the constant, centuries-old, constant moral teaching of the Church's magisterium. I hate to say it. 4 years, the Society of Jesus has been the highest placed teacher of the truth. Our universities now, shall I say, are citadels of the untruth. Oh, how much I could tell you about a priest called Father Hardin, the price he has paid, removed from not one, but several once Catholic universities, in plain English, fired because he insisted on teaching what else? The truth. The Holy Father leaves no doubt how believing Catholic ought to react to these, he calls them, satanic ideas. They, that's we, must condemn these false ideas as contrary to the truth and hear it contrary to our true human freedom. They contradict so much of what is taught in learned books, learned magazines, learned universities. They contradict the Church's teaching on the unity of the human person, whose rational soul is essentially the form of his body. We are destined to reach heaven, hear it, in body and soul. We are therefore, what an important therefore, to serve God here on earth, both in body and in soul. We are to submit our body desires to God's revealed truth, but human pleasure here on earth. We go on. Our next subtitle is Satan as Murderer. I might add, I've saved the two most outspoken conferences for the end of the retreat. When we say the devil is a murderer, it first means he is a murderer of the human spirit. In the vocabulary of the evangelist St. John, there are two kinds of death we can suffer. We can die when the soul leaves the body as a principle of our natural life. But we can also die, hear it, and do not forget until your soul leaves your body. We can also die a second death when the human soul is deprived of its supernatural life, which is sanctifying grace is not first-grade religion. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the human race. When he successfully tempted our first parents, he murdered their souls by depriving them of the friendship of God. I beg you, I plead with you, when you go home after the retreat, go through the reading you've been doing, the books on your shelves, the magazines and newspapers you've been reading. Find out, be absolutely stubborn, find out which reading have been feeding your mind with the truth and what reading has sown untruth in your minds. In God's name, get rid of, remove, tear, burn, destroy, no matter how expensive the writing may be, what your conscience, I trust by now, is telling you is not the truth. We go on. Except for the sin of Adam and Eve, brought on by the devil, our bodies were meant by God to be immortal. The devil, we've said, now we repeat, is twice over a murderer. He killed the souls of our first parents and their progeny by depriving us of supernatural life. He has also been killing human beings by depriving their bodies of the immortality they would have enjoyed had sin not come into the world through the instigation of Satan. Hear it. It's an article of the Catholic faith. God's original plan was to have both the human soul and the human body both immortal. Ever since the first murder, when Cain killed his brother Abel, why, out of envy, hear it, envy has been the main reason since the first murder, and the main reason to the last murder is committed on earth. Of all hatred, of all opposition, of every murder in human history, it was out of envy that Saul tried to kill the young David. It was out of envy that the scribes and Pharisees successfully planned, then carried out, the murder of Christ on Calvary. It was out of envy that the Romans martyred thousands of Christians in the Colosseum. It is out of envy of their fathers that millions of unborn children are being killed through abortion, shall I say it, by their unnatural mothers. Our focus in this conference is not on how the devil first brought death in the world. Our concern here is to see how the devil continues his double homicide in our day. the murder of human souls. We believe that our eternal destiny depends on obedience to the laws of God. We further believe that to obey God, we must submit our wills to His divine will. And the verb is, we must submit, bend our wills to the will of God. We still further believe that on the last day we shall be mainly judged on our practice of charity toward those whom God has placed into our lives. And God places strange people into our lives. Shall we say, what an imagination God has? Already in the beginning of the Old Testament, God forbade the taking of innocent human life. The first murder was committed by Cain when he killed his brother Abel. What was the sequence which produced the first homicide? It was the devil who deceived Eve. Then Eve convinced Adam to follow her example. Then Adam sinned, despoiled human nature by depriving his descendants of the built-in control of their passions. Hear it. I will say this only once. We all have the passion. The passion to envy others. Then Cain gave in to his envy. Envy of Abel, whom he murdered. Thus the devil was the first agent to deprive human beings not only of God's grace, but of mastery over their sinful inclinations. With the coming of Christ, access to the grace of God was restored to the human race. But hear it. Christ also elevated the old law. What a nice word. God elevated the old law. Christ also made the old law more difficult to observe. Not only are Christians to practice justice and therefore not destroy innocent human life. Hear it. In God's name, hear it. Christians are to love one another, even as Christ has loved us. How has Christ loved us? Hear it. Christ has loved us even to dying on the cross out of love for us. How then are we to love others? I say it. We are to love others by being willing to die for those whom we love. And I'm not indulging in what we call piousity. This is the literal Christian truth. This is dramatically illustrated in the comparison of two men, both contemporaries. by name, Adolf Hitler and Maximilian Kolbe. Hitler ordered the murder of millions of innocent Jews and Christians. The Holocaust has become synonymous with the mass murder of blameless, innocent human beings. What is less well known, however, is the instigation behind Hitler's homicidal mania. It was Friedrich Nietzsche. I've learned to spell the name Nietzsche. Nietzsche. The German philosopher, whose writings can only be described as written by the devil. Nietzsche hated God, and like Lucifer, envied God's supremacy. Now back to Maximilian Kolbe. This Franciscan priest was put in a concentration camp for refusing to follow Hitler's demonic hatred. Kolbe, remember, offered his life in place of a fellow prisoner, the father of a large family. Kolbe died as a martyr of heroic charity, is now honored as a saint. We return to our subtitle, The Murder of Human Souls. This be a little longer than usually for a conference. The Murder of Human Souls. We believe that the willful destruction of innocent persons is a grave sin. Unless repented, it is punished by a just God with eternal deprivation of the vision of God. To be stressed, to be underlined, is the close relation. Hear it. In God's name, do not forget the close relationship between the fifth and sixth commandments. You shall not kill, and you shall not commit adultery. What is the verdict of human history? It is uniform. Sins against chastity always lead to sins against charity. That is why Pope Pius XII said what he did when he canonized the young martyr, St. Maria Goretti. I attended her canonization. An estimated 1 million people came for the canonization of Maria Goretti. Had the privilege of broadcasting the canonization to the world. As far as the eye could reach, a mile from St. Peter's Square, filled with people. The Holy Father told this assembled audience that in the last half of the 20th century, the canonization took place in 1950. In the last half of this century, there will be, induced by the devil, millions will be seduced by the evil spirit to be seduced by the demon of unchastity, we could go on down the whole list of the seven capital sins. And I've done this on occasion, devoted 7 days to the seven capital sins, 4 conferences on each capital sin each day, to see each one of these capital sins is the object of the devil's temptation. But hear it. The devil specializes in 2 sins. Do not forget this. They are the sins of pride and lust. The devil deceives his victims into thinking they have the right to determine their own norms of morality, then lures them into every form of lechery. Know what you're saying. The 2 principal sins to which the devil tempts, has been tempting people from the dawn of history, are pride and lust. This, after all, is the devil's main purpose in tempting us. He, the devil, was condemned to hell for his sin of pride. He wants us to join him in his infernal paradise. Unlike the evil spirit, we have bodies whose most ecstatic pleasure comes from the use of our procreative powers. God has reserved the experience of this pleasure for the sacred. I repeat, sacred. Once more, I repeat, the sacred procreative powers reserved for marriage. The devil by now has convinced whole nations to the contrary. Is it any wonder that one of the accepted definitions of hell in the English dictionary, hell is the place of unrestrained fun or sportiveness. That is one of the official definitions of hell. I think I should apologize. I'm not finished yet. The murder of human bodies. Why the difference in numbers? The actual statistics, which the media are careful to hide, indicate between 10 and 40 million unborn children are murdered each year by their bewitched, I am mothers, in quotation marks. Christ. Let us pray. Pray for the conversion of a world of murderers. And we shall bring about the conversion of this world of murderers only by our own lives, and this means heroic lives, of loving others, even to accepting death to protect the life of an innocent, unborn child. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I seldom do this, but I thought it was necessary.